Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer at CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company, then Monday, Wednesday, Friday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. David, how's it going? Good to talk with you.
Busy Monday in Memphis sports, for sure. Yeah, I don't know where you want to start, but it is what it is, I guess.
Well, we'll talk about the sort of main bit of news in a moment, but I do want to mention that Memphis Athletics, at Tigers Athletics on X, has officially put out their tweet regarding the American Athletic Conference's rebrand to the American Conference, and they now have a mascot. They said they're a proud member of the American Conference, which is kind of funny considering the news today. But the news today, of course, they have offered everything and then some to the Big 12 for membership. Their proposal included $200 million, taking zero distribution for the final 5 years of the Big 12's TV deal with ESPN and Fox, providing the Big 12 with sponsorships in excess of $150 million over 5 years. And then they put this in there. They would be subject to expulsion after the 2030-31 season if the Big 12 deems the Tigers aren't adding any value. In a day and age in college athletics with the house settlement and revenue generation being a difficult ask for a lot of conferences, this felt like a no-brainer, but it feels like the Big 12 doesn't have Memphis in mind, even for the price tag that was attached to it. What do you make of this in regards to Memphis's standing and ever being able to get to a power conference?
What surprises me the most about it is how little consideration it appears the Big 12 really gave. And this is at a time, as you mentioned, Gabe, when athletic departments around the country are turning over every possible leaf, trying to scratch together enough money to pay the players without having to cut sports, without having to cut staff. College sports have never been more desperate for new sources of revenue. And here comes Memphis introducing them to millions of dollars with FedEx and AutoZone and Lowe's and saying, hey, not only are you going to get us, which maybe you don't want us, we have a good basketball team, we have a good football team, we have a brand new, newly renovated football stadium, we play in an NBA basketball arena. Okay, but we get it. Maybe you don't want us, even despite all that. But what if we sweeten the pot with $200 million in a long, potentially long partnership with these fantastic Fortune 500 companies? Surely that's going to move the needle in this day and time, because we got the Big 12 out here trying to go to Mexico City to play basketball games. They're putting up billboards in Times Square. Brett Yormark is really trying to do everything he can to make this conference.
PayPal Venmo deal,
boy,
by the way.
Yes. I mean, they are going to the ends of the earth, it feels like. Maybe even to Saudi Arabia to get money to be somewhat equal in terms of revenue with the Big Ten and the SEC. And here comes Memphis, seemingly with a solution to that issue. Honestly, that sounds a whole lot better than some of the other avenues they've been exploring to increase their revenue. It baffles me that the Big 12 leaders, and I don't even want to say Brett Yormark, because he may have been for this, but the universities that comprise that conference, that their leadership didn't give this a serious look. At least, you know, talk about it, explore it.
Vote on it, maybe?
A little bit. You know, exactly. And the fact that they really didn't even do that is what blows my mind. I don't even know if it's insulting. I think it honestly makes them look dumb. You know, I think that maybe the easy thing for some people to do is, oh, well, dunk on Memphis. But, like, I think the Big 12 schools kind of look dumb for flat out rejecting this in the way that they have. I mean, because they wanted Cincinnati and Houston and UCF, but like they think Memphis is that far below them that like they won't even let them buy their way in. And you know, it's crazy. It's like the ACC is accepting SMU just because SMU isn't taking any revenue. Well, not only was Memphis going to do that, they were going to go above and beyond and pay you to get into the conference. And I'm just shocked by this. And I'm honestly, I commend Memphis because the package they put together to make this attractive is like really impressive. And the fact that they were able to do that, I think if there's anything to be encouraged by, and I'll stop at this, it's the fact that at a day and time when Fred Smith is no longer with us, the University of Memphis was able to come up with a really good financial plan. And that's gonna exist into the future, even after this Big 12 rejection. Because if they're getting close to the full 20.5 on revenue share without even having a media rights partnership like one of these stronger conferences has, I mean, that sets them up really, really well for the future. So if there's anything positive to come from all this today, I think it's that they are really, really financially positioned to continue to be a strong athletic department, regardless of what conference they are in.
Yeah. Now, you asked this question, and I know it's hard to talk about because it sort of feels like, you know, let's go back to the trade deadline and in the NBA. It's like this feels as if, you know, the Lakers would have denied the Luka package as it stood. Like it just felt like there was no downside for the Big 12 to take this. But like, what do you think ultimately led to the no's from the presidents and the chancellors and the reason they're not interested? Like what can you look at as sort of the big problem that is leading Memphis to get a bunch of no's when it comes to getting into the power structure of college athletics?
You know, I think the easy thing to default to on a day like this is they looked at the University of Memphis and were turned off by the academic standing or whatever, which, by the way, I just looked up like Kansas State, just took a random Big 12 school, compared their acceptance rate, their average ACT score, their graduation rate to Memphis's. It's not that different. I think the easy thing is to default to the academic stuff or to default to the image of the city. That tends to be what we do when something doesn't go our way. And I understand that reflex. I do. But I think there's more to it than that. Exactly how to explain that or what that is tough. But think about this. I mean, there's been talks with the Big 12 and UConn. There have been talks with the Big 12 and Gonzaga. And none of the, you know, Memphis is a totally different place than Gonzaga, a totally different place than UConn. And those talks haven't progressed. So it could be as simple as the Big 12 likes where they're at. They like what the even numbers in their membership are. They like, I mean, obviously UCF and Cincinnati and West Virginia are out there, but, you know, 75% of their conference has at least some geographic sense. So I don't know, like there's gotta be more to it than, oh, there's a lot of crime in Memphis. I don't think that's it, man. Like that can't be it. I don't think that's it. I think that's an easy thing for us to default to, but I doubt some university president in Ames, Iowa, is sitting there saying, "Well, we can't share a conference with Memphis because, you know, whatever, they've got issues." I don't think that's it because, I mean, have you seen the new tennis facility there? Have you seen, you know, have you been inside a FedEx Forum? Have you looked at the renderings of this new football stadium? I mean, there's a lot that's going for Memphis right now. And I got to think this is more just about them liking where they're at. But I just think that's so overly cautious because you have Memphis providing you with a solution to a money problem. Like, and just the fact that they're just flat out rejecting that is just mind boggling.
Yeah. And I guess the other idea could be that you don't think Memphis is going to be overly competitive and you don't want to add a bottom dweller into your conference, even with that money. But at the same time, you go look at the history of Memphis versus Big 12 teams in football and in basketball. How do you feel Memphis would fare if they did join the Big 12 and the Big 12 said yes to this deal?
Well, look at the other AAC teams that have made the jump. Houston basketball has done exceedingly well. They are far and away the best example of how it could work. Now, they were already on really strong footing going into the league. You look at the others, it's a bit more tepid. I mean, UCF has not been able to really get it going in either sport. Cincinnati hasn't really been able to get it going in either sport. You know, Houston football is certainly in a rebuilding phase right now. But I think if you're being honest about where Memphis is at, I think they would be very well equipped to be competitive because we know how strong of a position they are in right now from a paying the players point of view, from a revenue sharing standpoint. And that's, again, that's without the Big 12 money. And they would be prepared for the next 5-6 years to continue existing without that money. So look at Memphis football and basketball. They're strong. They're really strong. Neither of them are as strong as Houston men's basketball, but I would say that the one that's been really disappointing is Cincinnati football, because you really thought with Luke Fickell taking them to the playoff out of the American that they would be prepared to go into the Big 12 and be really good. They've just been average. But I think Memphis could go into the Big 12 tomorrow and be average. They could go into the Big 12 tomorrow and compete for a bowl bid. They would be right there with the whole rest of that conference.
They also beat Iowa State and beat West Virginia in back-to-back years in bowl games, worth mentioning.
It's a very competitive conference with a lot of parity in football. Memphis would just be a part of that. They would. They would probably go in and go 4-5 in the league and be 6-6 or 7-5 overall. And then, Memphis basketball would be somewhere around 500 in that conference. And that's probably good enough to get you into the NCAA tournament. It can't be, it's not on the field. I just can't wrap my mind around that, because Memphis basketball hasn't been what everybody maybe hoped it would be under Penny Hardaway, but it's still decent. And then Memphis football, because of all the work that, you guys put in over the last 10, 12 years, it's pretty strong as well. So I I'm kind of at a loss for answers here on this. And, it's not on the Big 12 to explain it, right? Like, they don't have to tell us why, right. but I would like to know.
Also, another explanation could be this. You look at the Big 10, the SEC, and the Big 12. I think, obviously, the Big 10 and the SEC are on way firmer standing, but they're the power conferences. Like, we answer to them. They hold all the bargaining chips, the money, the power. The Big 12's done a good job, though, under Brett Yormark, of recovering after, it was questioned whether the Pac-12 or them was going to dissolve. Pac-12 ends up dissolving. Yada, yada, yada. We know the history. We can relitigate it all we want. But is it possible that when we're looking at expansion within those three particular leagues, are they waiting on the ACC to potentially devolve so they can pick up the pieces? If they're going to expand, they may not reach into the group of five. They'd rather reach for the ACC schools that are left behind if the ACC goes in the direction we think it's heading.
Well, for the time being, the ACC has stabilized, obviously, with the schools like Clemson and Florida State dropping that lawsuit. But the exit fee to get out of the ACC after 2030 is still relatively manageable, in which case, at which time you could see some dissolution there in those ranks. I mean, that's a long way off. And basically, the offer Memphis made was, hey, you can kick us out in 2030 if you want to, in which they could. They could kick Memphis out in 2030 and say, all right, well, the ACC is breaking up now, so thank you for your contributions, Memphis, but we're going to go get Virginia Tech and Boston College instead, So I can't imagine that the Big 12 presidents were huddled up thinking that far down the road on this. But, I mean, maybe that played into it. They are at a reasonable number right now. They have a good sort of even number of teams. You throw Memphis into that, then all of a sudden – you go from 16 to 17. That's a little bit of an unnatural number. I get it from that standpoint. But, no, I mean, I think now if you're Memphis, man, it's like, where do you go from here? And it's something that we've talked about, Gabe. This would be difficult to pull off because you got to get a lot of different partners on board with it. But kind of the most practical solution all along in my mind has been, hey, go play your football in the Pac-12, play your basketball in the Big East. Play your non-revs either in the Big East or in the AAC or in the Sun Belt or whatever it is. Now, I realize the problem with that are you got to get multiple leagues on board with what you want to do. But, hey, you've just illustrated today that you have the financial backing to throw some weight around to sort of get your way. And, shoot, I mean, if I were the ACC, I'd be calling up.
Yeah, should they?
Right saying,
should
hey,
they
look.
Call up the ACC and offer the same thing?
I think the problem with the ACC is like they would get all weird about the academics and stuff. Not saying they should or that should matter. I think they would.
Stanford would be an automatic no, is what you're telling me. If they voted on it,
yeah. You think about like Wake Forest and Duke and all these haughty, high-minded academic institutions would be like, well, yeah, but is Memphis a tier one research institution? don't get me started on that. We've gone down that trail before. I think that's the dumbest thing ever when you're talking about a sports conference to care about their research credentials or whatever. If I were Jim Phillips, I would absolutely be saying, hey, guys, let's have a serious conversation about what Memphis just presented the Big 12 and whether or not that might work for us. Because think about it like this, Gabe. You're not accepting the University of Memphis. You're entering into an agreement with FedEx, with AutoZone. You could have the FedEx ACC championship game. You could have the AutoZone ACC basketball tournament. And those are, multi-million dollar partnerships that every conference is trying to seek out and find right now. I mean, FedEx has sponsored some of the most prestigious sporting events in the world. And Memphis is presenting you with the opportunity to partner with that brand in a very financially significant way. I don't think you can just turn your nose up at that, especially when it's like, we're not talking about Arkansas State or Louisiana Tech or Southern Miss. We're talking about a strong basketball program, a strong football program, great facilities. Penny Hardaway, one of the most marketable coaches in college basketball. I can't imagine that not being attractive in some way to some faction of the ACC. But again, I think if you're looking at the academic piece, the ACC would be more likely than the Big 12 to raise issues with that.
Yeah, can we learn from the Pac-12 though about caring about academics and not expanding
right?
because of academics? Let's learn from our history, although we're not very good at that.
Right.
But I do also find it very ironic that today's news and the no from the Big 12 comes on a day where the American Athletic Conference has rebranded to the American Conference, and they now have a quote-unquote brand ambassador mascot, Soar the Eagle. Okay. I had no overwhelming reaction to that. I don't know what this does. You're not going to get more brand exposure from it. The American Athletic Conference just does not have the brightest ideas or the best ideas. I know there's no real good answers to get yourself in a better standing when it comes to the national stage of college athletics, but this is just meh. Okay,
hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. Bennett Doyle put out a really funny tweet of the new Soar Eagle from the American Athletic Conference, and he was like, "This is me going to jump off of a building right now." In light
right.
of the news with Memphis and the Big 12, and it's just what the timing on it is crazy. You can always count on one wild realignment story in July, and this is it. But the answer, the solution, until you get it all figured out, is just take this money that you've got and just go out and dominate
yep.
the American. Go out like Calipari style in men's basketball and just dominate this thing. Show everybody how much of an idiot I am for having South Florida in my bracketology. Go and do that. Go and win the G5 college football playoff bid
yeah.
this year. That's the answer. You can make yourself really attractive by doing that. And I'll say this too for the American. It's also on the rest of the schools in that conference to pull their weight. In basketball, that means scheduling aggressively instead of scheduling conservatively, instead of scheduling to not get yourself fired. And then in football, it means having some of your other teams go out there and win games. Like, we thought Trent Dilfer might be good at UAB. He hasn't been good. We thought that Florida Atlantic would make a comeback in football and that Alex Golesh would get South Florida going in football. It hasn't happened. And until those things happen, this league's just going to be a punchline.
But there is a bit of positivity from the Ross Dellinger story. He was first to it on the Big 12 in Memphis, talks back and forth. Buried within it, Ross Dellinger did put out that with a massive gift from FedEx coming, Memphis officials do expect to share the full $20.5 million in rev share with athletes by next year. They may be the only school in the group of five that's able to do that by next year.
Huge. Yeah, I'm fascinated to see if they're able to sustain that on a year-over-year basis. But, obviously there was concern here when the original FedEx agreement was announced a few years back. I think it was for a five-year term.
Yeah, $25 million.
Exactly. So what happens after the 5 years? Then, obviously, the tragic, unexpected passing of Fred Smith. You really wonder, all right, what does this mean for Memphis Athletics? We learned today Memphis Athletics are going to be just fine. So they are well equipped to continue dominating. You know, everybody wants to pile on right now about how horrible of an offseason it's been. Pat Forty had one of his classic Pat Forty tweets about that this afternoon, in which he didn't even mention the fact that Dane Dangers' waiver got denied. So there's another piece of, quote, bad news. And I get it. There have been some bad headlines over the last few months. But consider this. I mean, consider the fact that they are going to be debuting a freshly renovated, very nice football stadium. They've got Ed Scott with a renewed contract. That did you see the commercial appeals reporting on his contract?
Yep.
It is loaded with incentives to get Memphis into a power conference. So, like, that is going to continue to be the primary mission. And now you have all this money. You're reassured that you have the financial resources to field very competitive teams. I mean, nationally competitive teams in football and basketball for years to come. So all the pieces are in place, from facilities, from revenue sharing with your leadership in Ed Scott, to continue to be attractive to whatever may happen with some of these power conferences down the line. I really believe this, man. There's a good chance that the Big 12 looks back in 5-6 years and says, "Wow, we were pretty dumb for not taking that Memphis deal when it came up." And so, you know, there's a chance Memphis gets the last laugh in that way. It's hard to see how that unfolds now, but I don't buy that the Memphis athletic department is in a horrible position. I obviously they're in a horrible conference. There's no debate about that. But I don't think they're in a horrible position. I think they're pretty well equipped, maybe better equipped than they've ever been financially, facilities, good coaching, good leadership.
Yeah. That offer should tell you all you need to know. It is the most lucrative offer for membership in the history of college athletics. I also do get a kick out of the fact that, like, SMU did kind of set this precedent, didn't they? If you're a Group of Five team and you want to get to the Power Four conferences, you have to do some iteration of what Memphis did today.
Right. But the list of programs that can do it is so small.
Very small.
And I mean, think about Memphis being located in a top 75 metro market. You have numerous Fortune 500 companies headquartered here, namely with FedEx and AutoZone. Most G5s don't have that. You think of why is Boise State not in a power league? How many Fortune 500 companies are located in Boise? You know, SMU is unique in the fact that, yeah, their enrollment's lower, but they're just loaded with wealthy alums. And you kind of thought, all right, SMU is one of few, if maybe the only program who can afford to do this. Well, Memphis just showed you they can do it too. And so I think it was a tremendous offer that they made. And yeah, so that is, unfortunately, if that's the precedent, I think Memphis is one of the few, if only, that are equipped to do that. I can't name you another G5 that has the right combination of resources and competitiveness on the field and on the court to be even remotely interesting to the ACC or the Big 12.
Yeah. You just go through the checklist items, and it feels like Memphis has everything. Good geographic footprint, decent fan base, solid market, a decent amount of money if today's offer shows us anything, competitive in basketball and football, championship level in both. The checklist items are there. It's just somebody's got to give them an opportunity. That's the truth of it. All right, now, real quick, Sincere Parker arrested for aggravated assault. This was a guy who, in all likelihood, could have been the leading scorer for this team. Now, he still could be if he gets through this case and gets ready for training camp and ready for the season, but that doesn't look that likely right now. He was just released today. He entered a plea of not guilty, but what did you make of this? For the basketball program, I know that I've said this a bunch of times, but this is one of the worst off seasons of Penny Hardaway's tenure, and there's been some doozies.
Yeah, it's rough. I'll let the judicial system run its course on this, just like Memphis is going to do. But in the event that it were to lead to a dismissal, I mean, Sincere Parker is a bucket getter. So you're losing a bucket getter. I mean, that's what he did at McNeese. And he did it at, Missouri State before that?
SLU.
This dude's been getting buckets for SLU. Yeah, he's been getting buckets for a while. But if something were to happen here and this were to lead to his dismissal, which I would think is fairly likely, then you end up with a better role for a couple of the local guys, like, Curtis Givens or a Julius Thedford, these bounce back guys who are coming home to play for Memphis, who might have been behind him in the pecking order because he's an established vet with a deep track record. Now, all of a sudden, maybe your Thedfords or your Curtis Givens, maybe they've got a bigger role to play. And that is the one area of this team from a roster standpoint where they actually have a little bit of depth is in the backcourt and, in the guard realm. So is it a complete, does it completely crush them? Not, I don't necessarily think it would. Now it does get you one injury closer to having some more depth issues or what have you. So obviously not ideal. But let's say you never know. Like if the charges were to be dismissed and it were all to kind of fall apart and, maybe there's a way it can work out. They're going to let it play out. And, but at the end of the day, I wasn't banking my expectations of Memphis basketball on Sincere Parker. Like it's more to me about Doug McDaniel being able to go out there and be like Kendrick Davis light. And for Aaron Bradshaw to give us a little more than he's given us his last two stops. And then having the rest of the guys kind of fill in roles around those two. And that could still very well be the case.
Yep, for sure. Well, David, I appreciate it as always. We'll talk again on Wednesday.
Hi, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. Make sure you go follow him there and follow all of his work at CBS Sports. Go to CBSSports.com. He covers college basketball and college football for them. Now, last week, Damian Lillard signed back with the Trailblazers. So we had a future Hall of Famer reuniting with a former team. We have another one in the NBA. This time he signed with the LA Clippers. We'll tell you who that is on the other side and break it down right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The summer of 1,000 engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers is almost over. This is your last chance. Don't wait. Save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. With any purchase of $999 or more, get a free diamond or get free diamond stud earrings. And with a purchase of $24.99 or more, get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. Again, with a purchase of $24.99 or more. Some examples for you. Choose from a 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet for sale for $9.99 and get a pair of free diamond stud earrings. Or a diamond tennis necklace for $14.99, get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. And then you can propose now and pay later, always, with many financing options. You can take up to 60 months to pay. This is your last chance to save up to 40% off diamond jewelry during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale. Hurry in, the sale ends soon. See a store for complete details. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. Now, this summer has been very interesting when it comes to Hall of Fame players signing back with their former teams. First, we had Damian Lillard sign back with the Portland Trailblazers. He's going to sit out all next year with the Achilles tear and the Achilles rehab. But over the weekend, we have Chris Paul at age 40 in year 21 signing back with the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, last time he was there for 6 seasons, 5 All-NBA selections, 5 All-Star selections. And he was absolutely phenomenal. This time around, he's going to be 40 years old. He's coming off a year where he did play 82 games with the Spurs, but he only averaged 8 points per game and 7 assists per game on limited minutes. But this is what Shams Charania had to say about, where he could have landed. Paul had multiple suitors, but chose the contending Clippers and their shared history in L.A. for his likely final 21st NBA season. So we could have a little swan song year for Chris Paul. Now, with this signing, I would imagine we complete the Clippers offseason for the most part. And the first thing that pops out when I look at the Clippers depth chart or their roster is, good God, they're old. They are so old. Chris Paul is 40 years old. Bradley Beal's 34. James Harden's 35. Kawhi Leonard's 34. Bogdan Bogdanovic is 32. Nicholas Batum is 36. So I think all these players are talented enough. I think they can help this team win. Chris Paul likely will be a bench point guard for them coming in after James Harden. He changes up the pace, gives you more to think about if you're opposing an opposing defense. But this Clippers team is old as possible. Their average age is highest in the league at 31.2 in the starting lineup. 31.2 average age in the starting lineup. So that was my main takeaway when I saw Chris Paul signing back with the Clippers for his likely 21st and final season.
I think it's a pretty good signing. Chris Paul was still effective last season whenever he would play. Being the backup point guard for the Clippers is probably a good thing for them. But unfortunately, they have to consider the injury possibilities here with this entire team. Like Chris Paul, injury history. James Harden, playoff stuff. Bradley Beal, injury history. Kawhi Leonard, injury history. Right. Brooke Lopez, he's getting older.
John Collins has a bit of an injury history.
Collins absolutely has a bit of an injury history. I think most of the games John Collins has missed the last few seasons, though, have been because they've been telling him to quite literally.
When I brought
not
up
show
all
up.
The ages, I forgot to bring up Brooke Lopez, who's 37.
Yeah,
years
Brooke.
Age.
I mean, Nicholas Batum is on this team. Like, they are a very old basketball team, but when healthy, they will be effective, and they will be a good basketball team. It's going to come down to health for the Clippers. But when I first saw it, I went, yeah, that makes sense. That's a pretty good signing by the Clippers. It's a fun reunion. We've had a couple of those this offseason. Now people are saying that Russell Westbrook might as well.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Well, go back to the OKC Thunder.
I said that from a fit perspective.
I don't hate it.
As soon as the season ended, I think he would make sense with the Oklahoma City Thunder. As a sort of a bench point guard who changes the pace of that entire team, I mean, I think it would make a whole lot of sense. Now, the money they'd have to figure out.
Yeah.
But he probably wouldn't ask for a whole bunch at this point in his career. He wants a ring. He wants to contend. But, yeah, this team's old. I do think they can be effective if they stay on the floor, but that's a huge if.
Big if.
That's a huge if. I still feel the same way that I have felt about the Clippers the past 3 years, or really since Kawhi Leonard got there, is I think we will talk about them as a very scary team in the playoffs, a team you don't want to see, but ultimately you're looking at a first or second round exit. That's just how I feel, especially with the West the way it is right now. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, and the Houston Rockets to keep up with. The Clippers aren't on that level. They're way too old. You have the injury history to worry about. I think they're in that tier behind those three teams.
Yeah, probably.
But I think there's a group of teams right there with them. The Lakers, you know, and otherwise. I think the Grizzlies may be able to fit in that conversation if everything goes right and Zach Edey gets back healthy. But I think they're a substantial tier below the top of the West.
They're a fascinating team because their ceiling is contending for a championship. But their floor is everybody gets hurt and they're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, they're lying.
It's going to be a fascinating watch for the Clippers next season. I think that they've had a good offseason. I like that the signs that they've made. You know, bringing in Bradley Beal on the deal that he has makes sense. We're going to talk about one later on in the Blitz, like Marcus Smart. It's about the value that these players have. You know, they might still be able to give you some minutes because the thing with Bradley Beal is he looks really bad when he was on $50 million.
Yeah.
That made him look
bad.
People
aren't grasping this concept.
If you go and actually look at his stats last year, for what he's being paid by the Clippers, it could end up being a good signing by them. But he's got to stay healthy.
The concept of value based on contract seems to be lost on people. I think we've spent too much time clowning guys like Bradley Beal for the amount of money they were making versus what their actual production was.
Right.
So when they ultimately get a buyout and sign this tiny little veteran minimum deal or a small deal, we can't really get out of that phase. But it's a very simple truth. Bradley Beal at $50 million, bad. Bradley Beal at $5 million, good. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people are really struggling with that concept when it's not that common.
Yeah, I mean, last season, Bradley Beal shot 39% from three and scored 17 points a game. On the deal that he has with the Clippers, if he can give them that this season, that won't be a bad signing.
The
now,
starting five on paper looks so unreasonably good. But we know there's so many caveats. James Harden at the one, Bradley Beal at the two, Kawhi Leonard at the three, John Collins at the four, and Zubats, who is, I mean, he stepped into his own and was unbelievable
Zubats
last year.
Zubats was awesome
as a
last
five.
Year.
He was one of the best centers in the league.
If they can stay healthy, they'll be good. But that's a huge if. It's a huge if.
Yeah. But it's cool to see a reunion. Butts back in the seats for the Clippers. Not that they weren't already getting that with their new with the Intuit Dome and everything else. But I think this is another nostalgic pickup that has some use to it, especially in the role he'll be playing.
Yeah, it would be funny. Russell Westbrook goes back to the Thunder. Who knows? Maybe Mike Conley can end up back here before his career is over. Just send older point
now
guards.
Now we're spitballing.
Older point guards, you know, just go back to your original teams.
Yeah.
Or the teams that you're most known for.
Yeah, for Vet Meadows. Just do that. All right, now we need to go ahead and get into small talk, and I have some Scottie Scheffler stats to give you next after he won the Open Championship this weekend at Royal Portrush, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And small talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. And today's small talk is dedicated to Scottie Scheffler, who just captured his fourth major after winning at Royal Portrush, the Open Championship. He won it 17 under with a four-stroke lead over Harris English, who got second. And when we just look at what Scottie is becoming right before our eyes, before he has turned the age of 30, it is as close to Tiger as I have seen in my entire lifetime. And Jim Mackey said that as well during the NBC's Open Championship broadcast. Some stats just to roll through. Scottie, from 2022 to 2025, has 81 starts, 20 wins. So a quarter of the tournaments he starts, he wins. Four majors in that time, two players' championships, and he's averaging 2.8 strokes gained per round. Tiger Woods, from 2002 to 2005, one of the best stretches of his entire career, 79 events, 18 wins, four majors, same amount, zero players' championships. Scottie has had two in this run from 2022 to 2025, and the same 2.8 strokes gained per round. Scottie's sort of rankings since January 1st, 2024, among, you know, the people that participate on the PGA Tour. Off the tee, he is fourth. On approach, he's first. Around the green, he's sixth. Putting, he's 10th. Ball striking, tee to green. And overall, he's all at number one. I think when you look at the majors since the start of 2022 for Scottie Scheffler, that's the most impressive sort of stat that you could possibly see. 16 starts, he's been in the top 10 12 times of those 16 starts. So three-fourths of the time he will be in the top 10. He has four wins, only one missed cut in those 16 starts, 62 rounds played, 29 rounds in the 60s. He's gained strokes on the field in 53 of 62 rounds, 182 strokes better than the field in those 16 starts, and he's earned $20.6 million in those majors since the start of 2022. And if you just needed to get crazier, this is the wildest stat of the year. Tiger Woods and Scottie Scheffler each took exactly 1,197 days from their first major win to their fourth. And this weekend was the fourth of Scottie Scheffler's career. He also joined Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player, who all won the Open, Masters, and PGA Championship before the age of 30. What we're seeing right now is historic, and not that anyone was denying it, but you can't deny it in the slightest anymore. Scottie Scheffler has stayed on this pace. I know some people thought that he would fall off to a certain extent. That hasn't happened. I can't project it. And it's unbelievable considering he came into the weekend talking about how he didn't necessarily find a whole bunch of joy, like the joy from winning these majors and winning these tournaments.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It is short-lived. He says, you know, he finds more enjoyment out of his family and his faith and everything else. And I thought Nike hit the nail on the head with their advertisement for him. Of course, he's sponsored by them. There was two pictures. One was him in front of his kid, and it basically said, this is where you find joy. And then right after that, they have another one saying, but an Open Championship, that means something still.
It means something still. But I thought Nike hit the nail on the head with their advertisement after he won the Open Championship. But Scottie Scheffler, absolutely unbelievable, and this pace continues. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. Hour number three is on the way, and we'll open it with Jarvis Greer. Jarvo on the other side. How about it right here on the Gabe Kuncho, 92.9 FM ESPN.